Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This is the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Again, I'm not getting on ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church. That's another sideline. But the word church is used approximately 114 times in the New Testament. And it's always, always to a local assembly through the church. We're going to look at seven of them, the church at Philadelphia, at Laodicea, at those geographical locations that never is it taught in Bible, in God's word, about some universal mystical body of Christ. It's called the universal church. You hear it all the time, the universal church. And again, that's a whole other subject. But I just want you to note that to the seven churches. Now, some people say there's both local or visible and an invisible church, because you can't deny a local church. It's all through Scripture. But they all say, well, there's also that universal invisible church. Let me give you a little background. I'm going to move on real quick. Do you know what the word Catholic means? It means universal. The word Catholic means universal. And when they started, by the way, Catholics were not the first. You understand that. They started about 250 AD, but before then, the Catholics were Baptists. Okay, we're not Protestants. It's a whole other story. But during the Protestant Reformation, because the Catholics had already got that, well, we're the universal visible body of Christ, the Catholic Church. Well, out of Protestantism came, well, the Catholics are universal visible, so we're universal invisible. And that's where all this started from, and people just latched on to it. Again, these churches were local visible assemblies, and we will look at them in the next few weeks. These seven churches were located in the western part of modern-day Turkey. I've had the privilege of going there a few years back, and those churches aren't there, but I've went to Thyatira and these other places. And all. It's amazing. You go to these places, and you can see the ruins, these old cities and these other things. And in Thyatira, there's Lydia's shop, the seller of purple. Remember Lydia, the seller of purple? Well, Lydia still has a shop there after two millennia, you know. Of course, we laughed about it, you know. But when you think of their location, it's in modern-day Turkey on the western side of it. Also, before we move on, it's worthy to notice and to mention the special significance of the number seven in the Bible. We see the seven churches. I forget, I didn't count. I looked on the thing, my Bible help. How many times the word seven is used in the Bible? Book of Genesis, you know, 7 days, you know. Anyway, Doug, are you back there looking? I saw his head go down. It's hundreds, a few hundred times. But it's used, I did count personally, in the book of Revelation, it's used 54 times. I can't count much higher than that. That's why 391 in the Bible is 54 times. Now, don't y'all do what Doug just did, okay? All right. I just knew what he was doing. 391 times, 54 of them are in the book of Revelation alone. Matter of fact, the number seven is used more times in the book of Revelation than all of the books of the New Testament combined, you know, as far as using that number seven. It plays a huge part in the writing of the book of Revelation. Seven churches, seven spirits, seven golden candlesticks, seven stars, seven lamps, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven golden vials. 54 times that number seven is used. Very significant, and it means completion. Not so much perfection. People like you use it as perfection. You know, I'm not fussing with anybody, but it really means completion or finished, that finished work. Reading some commentaries, people are superstitious about that. You know, lucky number seven, you know, all these other things. But seven does play a huge role in Scripture. And I'm not one of those numerologists or whatever they're called, you know, meteorologists, numerologists, whatever they are, you know, who study like number one is for something, number two is for something, three is, I think, for God, Trinity. They even have four, five. I don't get into that. I'm sure there's some truth in a little bit of all that, but I have a hard enough time doing this, much less, you know, all the other studies of numbers and all. I do know, though, seven, obviously, is very important in the study of the book of Revelation. It just starts the seven churches. And this, we're going to get to the seven spirits in just a moment. Before we do, look this next, this salutation. Grace be unto you and peace. Grace and peace. This salutation is found in 17 New Testament books. And it's always in that order. Always. Grace and peace. You'll find it in Paul's writings, and mainly in Paul's writings, some other writings. Grace and peace. And always in that order, grace comes first and then peace. And by the way, that's how it comes in our life. You cannot have peace until you have God's grace. When you get God's grace, then you experience the peace of God. And then you can experience peace from God. Hope you get that. So these salutations, it's in that order always. And grace and peace. You must experience God's grace to have God's peace. And then notice, from him which is and which was and which is to come. John is speaking of the eternal nature of God. God always has been. He's the timeless one. He rules the past, he rules the present, and he rules the future. I had something marked. Let me read this. I wrote this in my Bible years ago, and the writing's about faded. The ink's about blotted, you know, over the years. But I wrote this. God is eternal. He antedates time and is wholly independent of it. Time began in him, and time will end in him. To it, he pays no tribute, and from it, he suffers no change. That's God. God is immutable. He's never changed. And God can never change, even in the smallest measure. To change, he would need to go from better to worse or from worse to better. And he cannot do either. For being perfect, he cannot become more perfect. And if he was less perfect, he would be less God. Hope y'all get that. I wrote this down. You know, once in a while, I'll get some good thoughts. And I have to write them down somewhere, you know. And then we're going to talk about God is omniscient. He knows in one free and effortless act all matters of relationships. He has no past and he has no future as far as he's the eternal one. And that's what he's talking about here, John, unto which was, and is to come. Speaking of God, now I want you to notice he's going to have mentioned the triunity of the Godhead here. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is mentioned in these two verses. And then, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Now that's an interesting seven spirits. Well, it speaks to the fullness and to the completion of the Holy Spirit. There are not seven Holy Spirits. There's one. But what he's talking about is the seven spirits. I marked this down. I wanted to read this to you. In Isaiah chapter number 11, verse number 2, describes seven aspects of the Holy Spirit. Seven of them, and it's mentioned here in Isaiah 11:2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. Seven attributes of the Spirit of God. So that, I believe that's what he's talking about. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne, literally, he has these characteristics, and he has them all in the fullness and completion of the Godhead. Again, let me mention one more thing, and we'll move on. Again, I'm a King James Bible man through and through. There are no mistakes in your Bible. If you have a King James Bible, there are no mistakes. Amen, preacher. Okay? Kind of a little burr every once in a while when I hear somebody says, I believe King James Bible, and it says this, but it could be better rendered that. You ever heard that, Michael? You probably, yeah. I mean, it's something said, and then some big wit preacher who's had a little bit of Greek or Hebrew, he said, it says this, but it should be rendered this. In other words, it wasn't right. Okay? I'm here to tell you the Word of God is perfect.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. And visit us online at westwoodmbc to hear more teaching like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.